All right, good evening, everybody. Live from, well, not so live, but here from Lynx Recording Studios in Somerville, South Carolina. It is Discussions with Tez. I am the host with the most, Prentez, a.k.a. Prince, a.k.a. Tez. And I am here with a very special guest. For all my people out there who are mad that I'm not a Christian, this is the man that you should be blaming. Did I meet this man? Me and this man has been friends for, 11 years now. No, not even longer than that, actually. We first met in 04, so 16 years.
Yes, sir.
And he opened my eyes to, a lot of things when it comes to African spirituality. This is Hassani Houston. Say what's up, Hassani.
Yes. How you doing? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. So this is Hassani, a.k.a. Q-Pock. Now tell them why they call you Q-Pock.
Because when I came into my frat, I was the only brother from the West Coast. So, and plus they said they think I look like Pac, but that ain't the case.
You look like Tupac, bro. I'm sorry. Not bad, man. This man here is a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. So for the duration of this interview, I will suspend saying bruh to this man. All right, but more than our friendship and your fraternity, do you still work for World Financial Group?
Yeah, so I still work with them. Yes, to answer your question, yes.
Okay, all right then, so make sure we don't do anything to F you up in this. So his background is finance, so what I want to talk about today is finance as it pertains to community. Once again, community development, maintaining the community, and protecting the community from outside forces. Not just the Black community, because we want to take a look at how other communities and their financial practices help them out. So first we're going to talk about developing the community. Now, again, another thing he opened my eyes to was Tulsa, Oklahoma. I believe you were the first person to tell me about Black Wall Street, right?
Say that part one more time, brother.
You were the first person to tell me about Black Wall Street, right?
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. I remember when we had that conversation.
All right, so take us through that conversation. Or at least take us through the information you have about Black Wall Street when you first laid it out to me.
Well, basically, it was because a lot of times you hear people talk about, Black people need to do their own thing, or we need to try to do something, or... Better yet, there was a time in social media, there was a time in social media where there was a post about a Chinese man who said Black people are lazy and they never went out and did something for themselves. They just talk. And that sparked a big debate. And so basically, it was that same type of conversation that was going on at the college at the time. And so Black Wall Street was my proof to show, hey, this is not the case. Actually, Black people have gone together and created more than people know. The problem was it was destroyed by basically, I guess you could say, white antagonists who didn't like what they were doing for themselves. I'll put it to you this way. Per capita, Black Wall Street was creating more wealth than New York was at the time. Per capita, it was one of the largest economies in the United States at the time.
Now, explain what per capita means for people who don't know.
Per capita means per... So if we're talking about 1,000 people in an area, for example, I'm going to give you an analogy. If we say per person, let's say an area produces $1 million. Well, another way of saying it is, if an area has 1,000 people, well, per person, they're creating X amount of dollars.
Okay.
So now you're talking about the profitability of a economy in comparison to somewhere else. So it's kind of the same thing when you're talking about Black Wall Street.
Okay.
Now, in that sense, with Black Wall Street, the other thing is we had a mixture in the community where we had doctors, lawyers, businessmen, and the average everyday blue collar worker as well. So we had everything in that community that you could think of that existed at the time.
Okay. Now tell me this. What was the significance of that scenario in America? Because Black Wall Street wasn't the only place. It's just the most noted place.
Correct. So it wasn't the only place. That is true. You had other free towns. You had Allendale or, excuse me. Is it Allendale or Allenville? It was a town in California. You had Rosewood in Florida. So you had other spots.
Durham, North Carolina, too.
In North Carolina. So you had you have multiple spots where Black people created something out of nothing, but then they also met a similar demise.
Like dominoes.
Correct. And that demise was white antagonists not liking these Black people producing for themselves. Now, I can speak of majority of the ones that I studied. I don't know about all, but I know the majority of ones that I studied, that's exactly what happened.
Okay. So the question becomes, what was it that they didn't like? Like, we know it's white supremacy. That's the aspect that, you know, pretty much set them against the concept of those towns. But what was the specific threat to the white power structure?
So the threat to the white power structure at the time is I believe if you watch Hidden Colors.
I thought you were about to say 50 Shades of Grey.
Say that again?
I thought you were going to say 50 Shades of Grey. I was like, okay, Sonny's changed a lot since I met him.
Well, you know what? If you go off of Francis Wilson, 50 Shades of Grey is very significant. But what
Rest in peace to the sister.
What you'll notice is that in this society, it's been very, very prevalent where the white power structure has always been upset about other people. They have always been antagonistic to outsiders, especially when it came to jobs, because they were afraid of people taking their jobs, number one. Then number two, the other thing was, it was a there was a saying where they said, no matter how bad I am, I'm always better than a nigger.
Right.
So when white folks came to this town and saw these people doing better and they weren't doing good themselves, basically in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that area, Black Wall Street basically surpassed its white surroundings. So in doing so, that's creating a threat where basically that's going to expand their economy. And here's how white supremacy thinks. There's always going to be a dominator and there's always going to be an oppressed.
Right.
There's always going to be a winner and there's always going to be a loser.
Right.
So if I am a part of the white structure and I come in and see you succeeding, that means it's imminent and only a matter of time before that means that my death is imminent. My death is sealed. Like, I'm going to lose, and it's going to be because of you.
Right.
So you see this repetitively through history, through those eyes of white supremacy.
Right, because my assertion has always been white supremacy doesn't really need us gone. It just needs us under control. Because you if you notice that they don't really get mad at us until we don't need them anymore.
So I will agree with that as far as control is concerned.
Right.
But you also got to remember the players at hand. So a pawn is not going to react the same way a king will on a chessboard. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is as far as control is concerned, you know. I'll agree with that to an extent because even if you're a pawn, you still feel like, who's this man? Well, no, for them, it's more so ego.
Right.
Who's this man to be able to do more than me and feed his family better than I can? Now, once you go above him in the power structure, now it is about control. There's a book called How White People Got Wealthy, and they talked about the construction of New York City was purposely designed to keep certain neighborhoods, specifically Black neighborhoods. They designed where they wanted to put Black people and strategically made sure resources could not go through those areas.
Similar to redlining.
It was impossible for it to build. Yeah. Oh, no, it was more than a red line.
Okay.
For example, if you want to talk about food trucks,
right.
If you want to talk about materials to come in and build things, like the bridges were lower, the standards were less. Like, it's public history, it's public record. You can look it up. So after you read the book, How White People Got Rich, then you can look up the public records, and it confirms everything they say.
Okay. So the question I have now is it possible for black people to do what we did again, and how will we do it?
So I would say it is possible. And the reason why I believe that is because you see in our history that we have always had a feeling of resistance,
right,
a feeling of rising above, challenging the status quo. At this time, so the challenge that we're facing now is that there's more comfort at this time, simply because, let's see here, how can I explain it? So simply because of integration, now you have more people that are comfortable. So that's the challenge that we have this time. So what's going to happen is we have to, the way for us to get back to that point is we have to depend on more than just the black folks in the United States. That's my opinion. No, we have to make sure that we could circulate money more than just our local neighborhood. Jajena did an interview the other day, and what he said was, how do you fill a balloon from the outside in?
Right.
And I thought that was genius when it comes to our communities and things of that nature.
Now, say that name again for the people who might have missed that, who's that interview.
Jadena on Breakfast Club.
Okay. All right, now when you say just black people in the United States, you're referring to all black people like around the world, Pan-Africanism or black nationalism, yes, right?
Yes, I'm speaking from a Pan-Africanist standpoint, 100%. So Peter Tosh told us in the song African, no matter where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. So I'm covering folks from London to the Caribbean, to the continent, to the Pacific Island. It doesn't matter. So what we should do to get back to that point is strengthen ourselves from the outside in.
Okay. All right. So now that was the first part of this as far as building and trying to rebuild. What we're going to do right now is take a little break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Freestyle Friday.
All right, and we are back talking with the great man Q-Pac, a.k.a. Asani Houston. All right, so we were talking about building a community. Now, the next thing we want to cover is maintaining the community. How do we keep the community from falling into disrepair, and how to keep ourselves from, I don't want to say being invaded, but pretty much making sure our communities are our communities, if that makes sense to you.
So,
how do you gain and maintain the status?
No, it's kind of like how I don't know how to say this without actually making it sound like a negative connotation.
Make it sound like you need to make it sound so you get your point across.
Basically, the situation we're dealing with right now with gentrification, where blacks are being pushed out of traditionally black neighborhoods because those
are you saying how to keep crackers out in the neighborhood?
See, I say all that. And you only coming on my podcast to say shit like that. This nigga trying to get me smoke, I ain't even asked for. But yeah, basically, Sonny.
So ask the question one more time so I got it straight.
All right, basically, how do we keep, I guess, ownership of our own stuff, basically? So we don't get pushed around financially.
How do we keep the money to ourselves financially?
I guess that's a better way to put that thing. I'm trying to put it in a way that doesn't mess him up, basically, from his job. Hmm. So, yeah, how do we keep our money circulated within our own community?
Yeah,
so,
once you build a community, once you build the infrastructure for black people start
infrastructure,
being able
that's
to
the
put
word.
Their money together, how do you keep it? How do you think or consider it being able to be kept inside of the community as far as black people, money staying in black communities longer?
Got it. I think you guys answered the question within the question. The biggest thing is infrastructure.
Right.
Where can you go right now where you can see Africatown? You know what I'm saying? Where can you go right now where you have multiple businesses, multiple lines of businesses in one community so that regardless of what you want or need to do, you have access to it?
And that's the thing I've been saying, because there is no equivalent to a Chinatown or a little Italy.
Well, you have like recording studios where we got 3 black-owned businesses in one building.
That's a start.
That's just me promoting my studio.
Yeah, he does that, Sonny.
Well, that's what's up. So that's the beginning of it. But you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now we need something. Now we need something in another line of business to support what he does or to back up what he does. A black movie theater, a black insurance company. So it's all about infrastructure.
So you're talking about, would that be called vertical integration? Or is that vertical integration, or is that the other type of integration?
I wouldn't say it's vertical yet because vertical is more so, maybe it is. Yeah, because when you start doing other lines of business, you are consciously going into education, then you're consciously going into politics.
Yeah, that would be vertical integration, because think about it. This is basically an entertainment company, and if he builds if he does a deal with like a black-owned theater, that's some media for the actual for the entertainment. So that would be vertical integration.
Yeah, that's what I said. So you pretty much right.
The white supremacy economic structure in America is just a bunch of vertical integration. Is that right?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Say your question one more time for me.
So basically, the white supremacy economic structure is just a bunch of vertical integration.
Absolutely. The best book I could say that speaks to that is a book called Powernomics.
Right.
That is a book that I recommend everybody to read. Another great book to read is a book called Black Power by Amos Wilson. That's another great book to read.
Charlie Wilkins.
And I'm sorry. When I said Powernomics, that's by Claude Anderson.
Okay.
And he actually had an interview on The Breakfast Club that was pretty phenomenal.
Respect to Claude Anderson.
That I would definitely recommend everybody looking into. So Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics. Dr. Amos Wilson, Black Power.
Is that the light-skinned older dude that was telling people not to vote?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
Him. That's him.
Yeah, I don't like him too much.
His book, you know what? To piggyback on that, there's one thing that Farrakhan said that I truly, truly respect. He said, we don't have to like each other to work with each other.
Right.
And
right.
When I heard that, I said, you know what? That's true, because I give my money to people that I don't like or don't even know all the time. So I need to be fairer with my own folks. You know what I'm saying?
But that actually takes me to another point why Holiday doesn't like him too much, because Holiday is a big proponent in our political process. Basically, we are the same mind on how to strengthen our community. He just thinks that politics is. He believes in the primacy of politics. I believe in the primacy of economics. So that's kind of where we differ right there. Like, my uppercut is money. His uppercut is his vote. When it comes to fighting this.
Neither one of us is Dante Wilder, though.
Deontay Wilder. How you lose on... How he lost that fight on Black History Month?
Dante Wilder, he been reading books, man, so he gonna bounce back. He all right.
He'll be all right.
It was Black History Month, man.
It was.
You can't be that hard on the brother, man. You gotta get coming from Black.
Black History... Bro, you supposed to go through that dude's forehead, man.
He broke my heart that night, though. But I got all my trust in him to come back strong. But he did break my heart.
You know
that
what? And this actually a good.
I ain't gonna lie. My feelings was hurt too. But I know I can't get caught up in that because that's what they want.
Right.
That's what they want.
Here's my thing too. We talk about Black people in economics, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't him and Anthony Joshua just fight a couple years ago when they were still undefeated champions? You know how much money they would have made off of that?
Because the money wasn't right with their promoters.
Right.
And ego was in the way.
Then do what Floyd did. Floyd, for all his faults, is a great example of Powernomics. Floyd bought himself out of his promotional contract, promoted himself, and look at the money he makes now per fight.
And he also fights people that can't beat him anyway.
So. I was about to say, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that's a whole nother ball game right there, bro.
I don't know. I'm just saying, man. Deontay Wilder lost on Black History Month. I'm never going to forget this.
We do get off track sometimes, but we're about to go back on track now.
I want everybody to take from this video, if you don't take anything else from this episode, is that I will never forget this Deontay Wilder.
Okay.
Okay.
But since he did put my business out there, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Even though I believe that the structure is in politics, I also believe that I can be pro-politics. Another person cannot be pro-politics, but we still have to find a way to work with each other because eventually down the road, it's going to take all the avenues, every avenue that black people are going into in order to be able to conquer the oppressors.
I think you and I are a good example of that, actually.
Right. I am a good example.
I was about to say Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller Jr. wrote a book on that. That actually speaks to your point. And he helped me change my outlook on politics because I was one of those people. I was like, oh, fuck politics. I ain't dealing with it. But Neely Fuller said politics is nothing but the dealing of people and the dealings with people.
Right.
And when you understand that, then you add diplomacy and policy. And then furthermore, if you want to look into our history, this is what I learned, and this is where my perspective really changed. So like this year, I really started learning more about, I'm starting to learn more about politics.
Right.
Our ancestors practiced diplomacy.
Yeah.
They understood who enemies were, and you couldn't be a king on an island by yourself.
Right.
You create vulnerability.
Right.
So if that be the case, I owe it to myself to practice in the same light. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
See, but the thing is, as far as why I believe in the primacy of money, the primacy of economics over, not the same, voting is not important. Like I say, if money is my uppercut, you know, voting would be a good jab.
Right.
Right. Yeah, where's the black version of a Donald Trump or a Bloomberg, a guy who can basically buy himself into the election process?
They exist, but it's not time for that.
Meaning?
Because, let's put it in perspective.
Right.
There are six black millionaires that I can think of off the top of my head right now. Four that I can think of off the top of my head right now. But if they bought their way through politics, what would they be able to do for us? And how would this environment respond to them and respect them? So if you want to talk about vertical integration, I think there needs to be an economic base first. I think there needs to be I think there needs to be something where, and then I think there needs to be an international relationship first. Then when we have somebody in spot, we have a little bit more power behind what we're doing and who we are. For example, whenever you have one of the presidents come into their role, one of the international relations we have to stand by, and I still don't get, is what's the spot in the Middle East? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Afghanistan?
But basically, no. It starts with an I. Not Iran.
Iraq.
No. Is it Iraq?
Iraq. Well, Iran.
It's one of those spots in the Middle East where we have to swear allegiance to and say we're going to protect them with our lives.
Israel.
There you go. That's what it is.
Damn, that's when we come to an America in society that, damn, Israel's an afterthought?
You can't say that too loud because the people that hear you and call you, they'll call you one of those people that they be calling.
I don't mean that, but I mean, like, I remember back in the 90s and before, like, Israel was like one of the most talked about countries,
right?
Like, I just thought about when he had a trouble drawing that name, I'm like, damn, you really don't hear much about Israel anymore in the world stage.
It's designed like that.
Think so?
Like, you basically can't say anything about Israel anymore.
So now you sound like one of those people. Right.
No, you can't say anything good or bad about them. And it's kind of like saying the N-word for black people or the J-word for Jewish people. Or
pretty much.
The K-word for Klondikes.
For Klondike?
Yeah, crackers.
This dude said Klondike. What's for the God, boy? I was like, and he was leading me down the path too. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
But there is, I forgot what they call him, like, but they accuse Ilhan Omar of that. Speaking ill of people from there. Anyway, y'all get back on subject. My bad.
All right.
We good.
All right. Speaking of politics, man, California, your primary is coming up Tuesday, right?
Man, I'm the wrong person to ask about that kind of stuff, man.
Hey, so I was there was about 12 people in the studio today, and everybody that walked in, I was like, hey, did you vote yesterday? They was like, we was voting yesterday? Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was the only one that voted. The polls was, and I got there late because I had to get, I had to leave for my other life, so I had 30 minutes to get there. That shit was like not jacked. It was the opposite of jacked. It was jilled.
That's funny. That's a rhyme right there.
go ahead, son.
So yeah, man. No, I'm just saying. I'm still politically immature. I'm still learning this year. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. I know what my strengths are and I know what my weaknesses.
I got you. Okay,
that's good.
All right. So what we're gonna do is take another break. Again, work on our economics. What we're going to talk about next is protection of the community through our economics. And we'll be right back.
All right.
Coronavirus.
Hey, y'all. This is Kelly.
And this is Amy.
And this is our podcast, In Yo Shoes, recording out of Lynx Recording Studios in Somerville, South Carolina.
Need advice on love, parenting, money, success, or anything else life has thrown your way? We are your girls.
You ask, we tell, and we give it to you straight.
Visit our Facebook page, In Your Shoes, the podcast, to ask your questions. If you want to remain anonymous, submit your questions in Messenger.
Find us on iTunes, at Distraction Network, or any place you can download your podcast for free.
That's In Your Shoes, the podcast.
INYO parentheses UR parentheses dash the podcast on Facebook and Messenger.
I forgot the word shoes. Shit.
And we're back. Just like Candyman is. Candyman's coming back this year. Y'all want to see that shit.
I heard that. Yay.
I'm going to watch the fuck out of that movie. Y'all never seen a nigga watch a movie like I'm going to watch that movie.
You said the N-word a lot.
I do. So, Sonny, tell us.
Yes, sir.
What can people find you that's looking for you online, man?
That's a good question. I'm starting to use Instagram more. So, HZHouston12 on Instagram. Same tag on Twitter.
Okay.
So, yeah, those would be the place to find me.
You worse than me on Twitter, though, man. Like, I thought I didn't tweet for shit. You do not tweet at all.
I don't tweet a lot, but I mean, you can find me there, and I'll have some stuff, and then I'll respond.
Okay. All right.
Are you a lurker?
Nah, I ain't a lurker.
No, I'm a lurker on IG.
You watching girls?
I might.
No, well, you know what? No. Girls.
There's two pages. There's two pages that are phenomenal to me on Twitter. So I take it back. Cause I do be looking at stuff. I comment.
Oh, that's what's up.
So, oh, they be lurking on Kamala Harris's Instagram.
Other than that, I don't do too much more.
No, I don't. Better stop that stuff. My wife hear this. She be all upside my. She like, the one time I listened to your podcast, I had to hear you talking about Kamala Harris. I was like, oh, shit.
All right. So we're talking about protecting the communities through economics. Because I've always held that the reason why you never really hear, like, the Asian community, like, you never really hear, like, crazy shit happening to them. If it is, it's very rare. And when it does, they seem to handle that shit pretty fast. Or the Jewish community at that, too.
Except for the coronavirus, they spread that shit.
This dude here. I told y'all I got the Budweiser virus. But you never really hear about those communities having the same troubles that the black community has. The same. So my question is, assuming we get our money right, what do we do as far as protecting ourselves to make sure some, like, things like Black Wall Street doesn't happen again?
So one thing I do believe is evident is, let me say this first. The Asian community and any other community hasn't faced the same atrocities we have. So because of that,
in America.
So because of that, yeah, in America. So because of that, they don't have to worry. They don't have to think about the extra step like everyone else does at times. Mm-hmm. Now, let me even take it a step further. Internationally, they haven't faced the same atrocities as we have. And I'm speaking from a Pan-Africanist point of view. I'm not saying their atrocities have not been worthy of documentation or paying attention to, but I will say this. In America, all these communities you're speaking to have a continent or a source outside of America.
Hmm.
So basically, Chinese face oppression out here, especially in California. Then you had Japanese going to the concentration camps. But one thing they all had in common is, if stuff got out of hand, then America has to go to war with Japan. Stuff get out of hand, America got to go to war with China. You see what I'm saying?
Now, explain the significance of that for people listening.
What'd you say?
Explain the significance of that for the people listening.
Well, part of the significance is if you have a land base that you're connected to in America, I'll put it to you this way. Okay. We said earlier that you can't be a king of an island. Well, if you're fighting in America and you're an island by yourself, then that means you can get taken over more. Okay. And if you look at how Europeans conquered, it was a divide and conquer strategy. So how can they keep you in your situation? Through divide and conquer, make you feel isolated as if you're a one people in America that doesn't have a connection with anybody else.
Like Jim Crow?
That's the best way they can. Yeah, 100%. So now, what if would the Jim Crow era had existed if Africa was united with the black people in the United States, and now America knows if they do this, if they continue with Jim Crow, well, now they lose resources and they have to go to war with Africa.
Right.
That wouldn't happen then.
So you're basically talking about having a big brother to protect you.
Pretty much. So now let's talk about the significance with Chinese. If we go to anything with the Chinese right now, here's something that is a fact. Can they still face oppression and discrimination and all that kind of stuff? Yes, but to an extent. Let's be for real about it. Financially speaking, they are the most significant community in America right now. Because when you're looking at finances, investments, the investment field is catered to the Chinese American or the international Chinese man or woman. In addition to that, they have bought more real estate than any other group of people within the last 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they have bought more businesses than any other group of people in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yep.
In addition to that, they can count up to 1 billion people. So if it all comes down to it, and you want to talk about war, then that's 300 million versus 1 billion.
Yeah, because they're taking their shot at Africa now.
Yes, they are. But again, I'm gonna leave it at that because that's all another conversation. But the point is that when we can start. When we can build from a Pan-Africanist point of view,
right,
we'll be better. And the last thing I will say about that is Pan-Africanist point of view doesn't mean unity as in everybody is on the same page and everybody agrees. Because if we're really frank, America was built with white folks that didn't agree with each other.
Right.
China was freed from colonialism and capitalism, and they didn't all agree with each other.
Right.
So same thing with Russia and all these other boys. So we don't have to be caught up in this dream state of thinking, oh, for us to be better off or for us to be free, everybody got to agree. No, we just need somebody to actually get it going and get enough people involved so they could take on a life of their own.
That sounds like me running for president in 2032.
Man, listen, fuck you. I'm running for president.
Okay.
I've been saying I'm running for president. All right, Strowman 2036.
You've been saying that since we've been in college. That's real.
Strowman 2036. you're not gonna be president before me.
Okay then.
I swear to God, bro.
I'll make you my vice secretary of state.
Fuck you. I'll change parties just to run against your ass. All right.
All right, man. We know you gotta go. You already read us out. Anything you want to say before you roll out?
I just want to say thank you guys for thinking of me and inviting me to the show.
No problem, bro.
Definitely appreciate it. And I'll be more than happy to do it again. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right, take it easy,
take
man.
Take care, man. Be safe.
All right. Y'all too now.
All right, Westside.
You better stop doing that for all you right. Get
I'll holler at y'all later.
All right, take it easy, man. I said, he's from California.
Okay.
You know? I didn't say the other thing. I didn't say that one side you don't
like.
You didn't
say root.
No, that's the no. I didn't do the cue dog thing.
Yeah,
I thought you was mad at something else though. I'll talk about that later. Right. But yeah, that was the Sonny Houston, y'all. Like I said, good man, great brother. Like I said, I met that dude in college, man. He opened my eyes to a lot of stuff that I didn't realize was out there, especially
basically,
when it comes
he
to
Prentice to meet me.
I think Pat did that. Okay, I met him the same time I met Pat. Right. Shout out to Pat.
Yeah, Pat listening, man. Pat get a shout out every time we start mentioning him. Pat get more shouts out from us than he do from wherever he at.
We're gonna have Pat on the episode, man.
We gonna have Pat on the episode soon.
I'm trying to find the right topic because Pat work at a school.
Let's talk about school.
Think so?
Yeah. We can talk about school. I was about to say, hey man, what you doing at? We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, right. But got a few minutes left, man. So what'd you think about the primary?
All right, so we might as well go through this part. So there was a scheme that the Republicans was doing because in South Carolina, if you are a Republican or Democrat, you can vote in both primaries.
This makes no goddamn sense, but okay.
I'm an independent. I am independent on paper.
I'm a piece of shit, but okay.
I'm a Republican by thought until about 2014 because I heard what Obama said and I just started voting blue all the way down. Okay. I'm not going to go back through what Obama said because we done did this plenty of times.
Right.
But yesterday there was a scheme going on where the Republicans got together. They decided they were all going to vote for Bernie. Yeah. And because that's what they think of Democrats. And I always say Republicans get together, find something to do, and they do it together. Democrats vote on feelings. So yesterday, a lot of Republicans wanted to vote for Bernie. So they went out there and voted for Bernie. And the black people in South Carolina, they go straight by name recognition. So right. They're voting straight Biden. So if you look at the primary numbers from yesterday, Biden killed it.
Yeah.
And it was astonishing for me. I voted for Bernie. But
I did too.
It was, and because my motto is Make America America. That's everything Distraction Network is about. It comes from Fred Hampton, which is a Black Panther. He didn't say those exact words, but a synopsis of his words that he said and what he stood for was basically Make America America. And the one that has more of the values of Fred Hampton
is
Bernie Sanders. So that's who I voted for yesterday. I was not disappointed. Well, I was disappointed
in the results.
But it was nothing
you didn't expect.
I did not expect.
I voted for Bernie. I said I would vote for Biden because I thought Biden would be the one that could beat Trump. I'm not so sure about that anymore. Because I think that, okay, I wanted to vote for Tom Steyer because he talked about reparations and he talked about a lot of real stuff.
Right.
But I realized reparations.
At least you're not 70, so.
I realized, you're an ageist, man. I realized about Tom Steyer that reparations, while it should happen eventually, I think this country still hates us too damn much for that.
Yeah.
I thought Bernie actually spoke to me as on the individual level.
I think our kids, maybe our grandkids would get reparations.
Also, that Daily Show piece about Tom Steyer, how he's the only candidate that wasn't jock riding Obama, I respected that.
Right.
Bernie spoke to me on the individual, like what I need right now as a citizen. Then I realized that Biden, I really don't know what the hell he's actually campaigning on.
I think you said Kamala speaks to you and your dreams, right?
No, that's you, actually. Mm.
No.
So I voted for Bernie. I didn't expect, I thought maybe Biden would win because, like you said, he's getting that Obama vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think he would win by that big of a margin, though.
Right. I thought he was going to win by that big of a margin. I thought it was going to be somewhere around. My bad. It's late, y'all. I thought it was going to be somewhere between.
It's like fucking 8:40. It's like
8. Yeah, it's 8:40 right now, and I feel late because on Monday through Friday, I start winding down at this time now.
Oh, God.
Doctor's degree, man. I got to make time for it.
I feel
so
you, though.
I got to sleep now.
I heard that.
So my brain could click. Doing my master's degree, I ain't need that much sleep, but, like, I need sleep. Like, I need at least 6 hours of sleep to get through this doctor's degree.
Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I thought it was going to be somewhere between 20 for Bernie and 50 for Biden. And it was, what, 19-4 and 48-8 or something like that?
Yeah.
So I was close.
Yeah. You know what really kind of hurt me, though?
What?
Get through this pretty quickly, man. In my other life, I have a coworker, young Latina girl. Well, young Latina, that's kind of redundant. She was, as a young person, apparently very oblivious to the Trump rally that was going on.
Mm.
So she drives to work playing Latin music. And right. Apparently the Trump supporters started yelling at her as she was trying to pull in because the rally was right next to my other life. Right.
Oh yeah. So you saw full and how racist all them people was. So I do I want people. I want people to know one thing about that though.
That's not what disappointed me though. That's not what disappointed me. But go ahead, finish your thought. I'm gonna get to this in a second.
That full parking lot. That full thing was people caravanning from all over the state and some of Georgia. That was not just South Carolina alone. That was people caravanning just to make sure that it was full because Republicans do what? Shit together.
Right. So, me, right? Now, if you know my parents, you know, like, you would understand how I get sometimes, right? Sometimes I want to smoke. Sometimes I want to see crazy shit, right? And one thing you said, and I've said this about Trump supporters, not all of them are crazy and effed up. Some of them actually have, I guess, even if you don't think it's logical or rational to you, they have logical, rational, thought-out reasons for supporting Trump. Anything from supporting the party or maybe the fact that they make enough money where the policies that he's setting for his friends actually help them. But the one thing I say about Donald Trump is he has the best crazy people, though.
Yeah.
So I decide I want to see some of this shit. So when I go to lunch, right, I'm bumping I Don't Give a Fuck by Tupac.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, they're going to hear this shit, man. Oh, they're going to go in, right? I get to the light. The light actually is red. Mm-hmm. And this is timed perfectly. The first lines of that song by Tupac is I Don't Give a Fuck. So I'm thinking they're going to hear that shit, and I'm going to see the crazy Trump supporters. They ignore me. They
probably just whisper to themselves, that crazy nigger.
They're actually walking by, not saying a goddamn thing. They're going to the restaurant right next to like the light. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe.
Fishbone?
Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't even want to say the name on air. So when I go get my food on the way back, I think, okay, maybe I Don't Give a Fuck by Tupac. It's too tame. I'll play Do Like a Geo by the Ghetto Boys, right? And I time it to where the second half of the second verse where they specifically start cursing out white people starts playing, right? Nothing. And I'm saying, like, where are these people that we see on CNN? These crazy dudes wearing cowboy hats and carrying guns.
So you don't know how to trigger people.
Apparently not, man. Because like I was sitting there, like
I would have done. Young Jeezy has a song that goes, "My president is black. My Lambo's blue.
I probably should have played that.
Goddamn if my rims ain't too."
I probably should have played that.
That's what I would have played.
Because I was like, maybe I need to get my political weight up. Or I was like, what's going on? Why did you yell at the Latina girl, the Latina, and not me?
Because it's Latina. It's a little Latina girl.
Like, I feel like
bullies don't bully people they are scared of, right?
I mean, they were just.
Did you see the way I went off on that dude on my post the other day?
Which one, Twitter?
Facebook.
No, not Facebook. Right. You don't post a whole lot on Facebook.
The only thing I post about now is voting on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
And so somebody went on my Facebook post. He's a Trump supporter. So he goes, he's just talking. So in order to understand my page, you have to understand that I don't care who people vote for.
As long as you vote.
I care about people voting. Now, voting dynamics changes, and the numbers show that the more people that vote, the more liberal people to get up there and vote, and the more blue the voting districts become.
Right.
Because the people that don't go vote is usually blue. To the point where if black people would have came out and voted in 2016, there was no way President Trump would be president right now.
Right.
There's no way.
Which is the only saving grace of Biden, I guess.
Yeah. But so on my page, someone comes on and he says something about some Trump rally or whatever like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's what's up, blah, blah, blah. So he thinks that he made me mad or something like that. Even though none of my responses say, hey, I'm mad. It says, yeah, go vote for who you want to vote for. It's your vote. There's only one choice when you go into that booth, and that is your choice.
Right.
Like, that's what I think. So then he do all kind of hashtags like, Trump supporter own you. Or, like, it was crazy. I said, oh, wait, you think you did something on here? And then I went in, like, I might as well had like a wig on and had a book in my hand and some reading glasses because I was just reading this little motherfucker. And he actually came back and was like, yo, I worked with you for a couple of years and I can't believe that you're on here calling me racist. I said, look at your hashtags, man. Like,
and that's the smoke I wanted.
Right. So I can see if someone voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Like, in 2016.
Yeah.
I can see people voting for Trump now because they're voting basically against the person that's running, right?
Yeah.
That's an excuse that people use, and most of the time it's not true, but if that's your excuse, that's your excuse. Run with it. But if you support Trump, you support bigotry, you support eugenics, you support racism, you support everything that Trump stands for. You support rape. You support child molestation. You support everything that Trump stands for. And if you do that, then I'm looking at you sideways. I don't think you're racist. I know you support racism.
Right.
I know you support that stuff. And I know when it comes down to it, if it was the 1950s and I was getting drug off into a tree to be hung, you'd be laughing at with everybody else.
Right.
Like, so then you become a whole different person to me.
You see, and that's the smoke I wanted.
That's,
man,
the kind of stuff that I explain to people. Like, I might laugh and joke and talk with you all day, white people. Like, but if I see that you're not an ally, like, we could still have these conversations because I will have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
But you ain't gonna sit here and run me over or talk slick to me
because
I'm about that life.
I just wanted some smoke that day, man. I was like, you know what it felt like?
What?
It felt like, you know, they were just like, don't you niggas know we're not as mad at you anymore? Like, don't you niggas know we need you? We need you to fill our prisons.
So they know that for the most part, especially down here in Charleston, man. Dog, you know, that's the number one reason why I want to leave Charleston the first time. And it's kind of like the reason why I don't like it down
outside
here.
Outside of being Charleston?
It's slave mentality. I call it slave mentality here.
Like, don't you niggas know we need you to buy Nikes?
They are. I'm saying, like, black people here are like very quiet, and they let a lot of shit slide. Like, I'm from the Columbia area, and it's really only an hour and a half up the road, but it's a lot less stuff that slides up there than does here.
I don't know how true that is, or what you talking about sliding.
All right,
but I don't know. I just felt bad. You know how hard it is. You know how frustrating it is when you're trying to pick a fight and the motherfucker ain't trying to fight you?
Yeah, you don't know how. Like, I mean, I'm saying you know how to fight, but I don't know if you know how to fight or not. Never saw you fight, but you don't know how to get in people's skin.
All right, I know how to fight, but I don't know how to start a fight. What you're trying to say?
That might work.
I was like, come on, man, it's Tupac. Y'all hate Tupac, don't y'all?
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, no, nigger. We're going to Starbucks, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was the Ghetto Boys, man. I mean, no, we can't stay in line, bitches. Mm-hmm. And it was like, sorry, nigger. We're going to Panera Bread. Thank you.
Because I don't even mind tossing eggs at motherfuckers.
I don't know. I just had to talk about that, man. I was so disappointed, man. I really wanted to fight.
But as far as the election goes, yeah, man. Everything that happened yesterday, I thought was going to happen. So Super Tuesday is going to be weird because you have Florida. Florida's like...
Florida, Georgia, or Florida's
going to be weird because they usually pull out Republican. That's because they use... But they usually cheat. Like, every single election, they cheat.
Didn't Obama win both Florida both times, though?
Think
if I remember right,
that's also the black vote though.
Yeah, he did win Florida. I know at least once because that's how I knew he was about to beat McCain when Florida went for him. I said this shit's about over.
Texas, which is becoming more Democratic, so that's becoming more blue, which means it's becoming more liberal.
Yeah,
so that's gonna be a fun one to look at. California is all gonna be all Biden.
Think so?
Yes, California's gonna be Biden like big.
California's a pretty socialist state, though.
Where's the cities at?
In California?
Or Southern, right? Southern California?
We got San Fran, but that's middle of the state, though.
San Fran is like 50-50, real close to red. Real close to red.
But then you got Oakland across the bay, though.
Which is blue as fuck.
And San Jose. Shout out to Sonny. Sonny's from San Jose.
And then once you go down, like 2 inches below that,
yeah,
it's all blue. Southern California is all blue. Upper California is more red. But it starts changing over somewhere around San Francisco.
I don't know. I don't know. Don't count Bernie out of California. That's all I'm saying.
That's why I said Sanders.
Did he say Biden?
If I did, I'm sorry. Okay. I was thinking Sanders.
Okay. All right, then. But that's just a little political story we have the last couple of days, man. It was nice being in the spotlight as South Carolinians for a while.
It was nice. I mean.
Yeah, Daily Show came with the downtown Charleston. But they never go to the real parts when they want to talk to black people. They didn't go to Rumney Street or back to Green.
I mean, they want to talk to the type of black people they go down there and talk to.
Yes.
Oh, that's all by design, bro.
Nobody comes to North Charleston and go to D Road or
Rewind
Road.
You said the Daily Show. That's what? That's
Trevor Noah.
That's Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Steve Colbert.
No, that was the Colbert Report. He's from Charleston, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Steve.
That's why I was like, but yeah, man, they just go down in Charleston. They want to be in Charleston and see stuff, man.
They always go to the fucking market. Like the worst place for a black person, and historically at least.
I mean, that's where we're most famous from. That's probably where we made the most money for our people, for the market.
If you know the history of Charleston and the market, man, you understand why I was upset by that.
And the Custom House. The Custom House is that big ass building. That even in my magazine, we took pictures on the steps of it, but that's like one of the big houses everybody do on the tours.
Yeah, that's why, like, whenever, like, white people, when you move to Charleston or you come visit Charleston, be careful when you give your reasons because white people love to say, oh, I love the history here. And you have to understand that black person's cussing your ass the fuck out right now in their head.
Well, they might do it in their head. I'm not doing it in my head.
I understand your ass is being cussed out. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I love the history here. Fuck you too. All
right. I love the history here. Okay. The Confederate flag store is right up the road. This
my foot's about to end in your ass. You don't get the fuck out of here.
Daughters of Liberty is right. Oh, you know, Daughters of Liberty. So Market Street is capped off by racism. So you know the history of Market Street where the slave was marketed.
Yeah.
The Custom House is on the back of Market Street.
Yeah.
But if you walk straight down that road, on the other side, there's a Daughters of Liberty. That yellow house
that
sits there, that's the Daughters of Liberty. And you know what Daughters of Liberty do?
What?
Sanction the statues and all that shit.
Oh, like, the racist ass. Yeah, those. The loser statue.
Yeah, those Confederate statues. And you all lost, that bitch. Stuff. The one in Charlottesville was sanctioned from the Daughters of Confederacy.
Losing ass motherfuckers.
So. Yeah.
All right, but yeah, that was our show. Anything else you want to add on, man?
Nah, that's it. You can follow me at Holiday4000. You know, everything else. You'll see it on the website.
You can still find me at Mantamusa the
7th. You know, you ain't got to do that no more, because that's your outro.
Okay. All right, then. Well, shit, peace.
Yeah, what he said.
All right, so that's it for us here.